Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Just thought that energy-wise, we could have been a little better. You know, we're playing at home. Home is always where your heart is. You want to, you know, come with some energy. I thought, you know, we didn't make shots like we usually do, but they can't fuel us. We got to come out and play with some energy. We're a young team, so it shouldn't be an excuse. But not playing high school kids, not playing AAU-wise, we're playing professionals. And I thought we had a great start and just couldn't carry the momentum on. And it's not just on one end. It's on both ends. More importantly, defensively, you know, they got a lot of position right now getting layups, and that's just in you. Like I said, man, it's this transition that we started here in Soda. This is going to be just that. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen when someone wakes up and all of a sudden, voila, you know, a ray of light comes through the window. You know, it's going to be something that we continuously have to work at day in, day out.
KG, preaching patience after the loss to FSN. It was the loss Wednesday against Denver, a Denver team that he criticized in that same conversation, talking about they quit on Brian Shaw, so he just thought that they were going to quit. This is One and Done on 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob with the Chief, Marcus Fuller.
I made it.
He made it just in time, got off the plane, and ran over here.
Hey, the pilot's a fan of our show, so I told him to drop him up, drop us off right at the U.
He's
right at the front door here.
This dude got his parachute license. He bounced out, landed in the front.
That's Ryan James. We like to start the show off with a poll question. It's probably how we'll start the conversation since you're actually here. The poll question is, name your starting five all-time Gophers. You can tweet us. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. You can also call us on the ticket line, 651-989-9105. We've already got a couple of people who tweeted because we tweeted it out earlier today. Let's see. I've got at Bounty of JLA says, McHale, Michael Thompson, Double T, Bobby Jackson, and Vincent Greer.
Vincent Greer.
Vince
wow.
Greer.
Nice.
Stepping up.
Hey. Nice.
At D-Cell Tiger says McHale Thompson, Burton Leonard, and Jackson. And then at Big, that guy likes the five that we have now.
Likes the five we have now?
The five that we have now that is
playing?
Like actually the team. Like the team.
He's
this
being
this
smart.
Current rock.
He's being smart.
We're all kind of like looking at each
seniors,
other just
man.
Dumbfounded.
Hey, real quick, you said Vince Greer. You know Vince Greer did some like work for like government contract work or something like that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what he'd been doing afterwards. So you're like, where was
nice.
He? He left like some and like what is it, D-League stuff, and then he did some contract work for
I think
the government.
He was with the Heat for not in regular season, but I think he made their
it was a playoff run, right? They signed
league,
for the playoff run.
The summer league team, summer. Yeah. He's on the summer league team.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever
he reminded me training camp a little bit.
Whatever Vince did for his work, like he did it. Secretly, I think it's kind of a secret job. And he went to Vegas with his money, and like no one knows what ever happened to him from there.
Nice. I remember Vince Greer, man. Back-to-back 30-point games back in 2005 when they made the tournament. He's the only guy right now so far in the last, 10 years now that back-to-back 30-point games.
Is he in your five?
Oh, he's not in my five, but
no.
I mean, he's probably in the top five players that I covered.
Yeah,
since I've been on the beat, for sure.
Without a doubt. If he'd had a better senior year,
he might be number one. He might be the best player that I've covered since I've been on my beat for the Gophers.
And he didn't even crack your five.
No, I mean, we're talking about all time here now.
Oh, this is good on five.
Okay, I'll let Ryan go first because
hey,
he wanted to answer this. He wanted this poll question about two months ago.
I am biased a bit. And if people follow Gopher Illustrated, they know that. I do have a family member that, without a doubt, he's going to be on the list. I mean, how can you not? You know, but that's the Final Four. Bobby and Sam took the Gophers to the Final Four. They are without a doubt on the list. No hesitation. Bobby Jackson, Sam Jacobson, Willie Burton. Without a doubt, Willie Burton.
Yeah.
And you got to go with Michael Thompson and Kevin McHale. I can't go back before that too much because, I mean, what kind of experience do I have? I wasn't born. But that's my five.
I
don't think you can go against that five.
I like that five,
but, Sam, I'm sorry, man.
Hey,
you know, I like Sam. He was actually, you know, when I first started watching the Gophers quite a bit, you know, during that Final Four run, I mean, he was probably my favorite player to watch, him and Bobby. You know,
I love Bobby Jackson.
But I gotta take Sam out. I put Vashawn Leonard in there.
Oh,
I agree with
Vashawn never took him anywhere.
One of the Twitter follows there. I think that Vashawn, I mean, if you take away if you don't take away some of the stats that he had, you know, during some of those vacated years, he'd be right up there. I think he might be the all-time leading scorer.
He is the all-time leading scorer.
Yeah, I mean, and it wouldn't be even close.
It's by a healthy amount.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's a shame, obviously, what happened during those years to keep him out of the record books. But, you know, you can't forget about what he did. He also played in the NBA. He'll never get his jersey retired here. Because of what happened, but I think for sure Vachon deserves to be in that. And Willie Burton, Kevin McHale, Michael Thompson, Bobby Jackson. That's my starting five.
I'm glad that you mentioned the jersey retirement, because that's something that you brought up to me about Andre Hollins a little earlier this week, and I kind of went, we're talking about the fourth all-time scoring leader.
If they make a little run, win a couple games or play a couple games in the Big Ten tournament, and also maybe NIT, he could finish as a second leading scorer in Gopher history to Michael Thompson.
That's not an unimpressive feat.
Right now it's Willie Burton. I think Willie Burton is the next in line. You know, Randy Brewer got his jersey retired this year. I think Willie Burton's the next in line to get his jersey retired here.
Which would be a great day. I mean, that would be that's what started a lot of Gopher fans, current Gopher fans, was that run. That's what caught me. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the Sports Illustrated had the little cartoon draw. I'm like, it was Richard Coffey and Willie Burton on the Sports Illustrated. And then I watched all those games. I'm running out, Dan, I need a Sweet 16 shirt. And that's the crew.
Elite 8
got
too,
me.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that right now, that's kind of the standard for, you know, the Gophers. Obviously, they won the Big Ten title back in 82. But since then, you know, you take away the Final Four year in 97 because of sanctions. And that was the last, you know, prime Gopher team that everybody thinks about. And really, I mean, you talk about Richard Coffey is still around. Willie Burton, I see him at games. You know, anytime they play in Michigan, he's there. He's a big Charles Bugs fan, by the way.
Oh, he looks just like
he loves Charles.
They kind of look like each other. Hey, but I'm going to tell you this. Go home. I'm going to send you the Clemson game when Bobby and Sam combine for 65. And then you'll come back here and be like, yeah, you're right. Sam and Bobby.
You got that on YouTube somewhere?
No, probably on YouTube. I got on VHS.
Nice.
Actually, it was one of those before VHS. I had like the SVHS or something like that. You needed a special VCR.
Do you have a VCR?
I do have a VCR.
You gotta convert that, man. Convert that to a DVD.
And I got a conversion like 2 years ago, but I haven't done it
yet. He got a conversion to laser disc. You know it's 2015, right?
I know.
You can tweet us with your response to the poll question. It's @oneanddone. 105. Spell out the one and done. You can also hit us up on the ticket line, 651-989-9105. We've got Justin screening calls for us today. Appreciate it. He actually mentioned that Vincent Greer's 04-05 season was the last time the Gophers finished above sixth in the Big Ten. I mean, that's 10 years ago, and that doesn't make more of a lasting impact. I mean, your favorite player while you covered him, but he doesn't crack your top five. I mean, Vincent Greer was a good player.
To me, you got to have the stats to match it. Because he was a junior college transfer, he only played 2 years for the Gophers. And really, I mean, he only had 1 year where he was, you know, a marquee player in the Big Ten. I mean, the second year was a pretty big disappointment for the team. I mean, they had a few seniors. And, you know, that team was expected to go to the NCAA tournament, and, you know, they kind of fell short there. And, I mean, that was one of the teams, that probably was one of the more disappointing teams of the last 10 years.
It was.
You know, they went through a stretch of, I believe, 6 or 7 losses in a row in the Big Ten to start off, and then they went on a little run. And they brought in, you know, I think Jamal Bushamala and Zach Pucktel, walk-ons to start, toward the end of the year. And they ended up, you know, beating some ranked teams at home. But they ended up going to the NIT.
Vince's second year was very similar to this year. In effect, because Vince also had Mo Hargrove and Adam Boone come play with him off of transfer
seniors.
Yeah,
yep.
And they weren't as good as they were the year before. And that's a whole other topic. I could talk about that for another 7 minutes. But
it's you're right about the senior leadership.
You're similar this year.
You're bringing back, you know, several seniors, expecting them to kind of lead the team. And, you know, I mean, Dan Munson had to go to his walk-ons for a spark.
Yep. You know, Vince, one other thing about Vince is people figured Vince out. They knew he was only going one direction. They knew people would give him an extra step because they knew he wasn't shooting too much for a jumper. Right. And they figured Vince out, and that kind of hurt Vince.
And I think he got hurt. I got to bring this up because this is if my wife is listening, she'll know this. The first game, regular season game that I covered, Vince ended up breaking a bone in his hand. And he was out for several games. And that night, I was just stressed out because I was kind of new on the beat. You know, my sources didn't have him. And I'm like, wow, you know, he could be out for the season. I don't know how bad his injury is. And so I ended up staying up pretty late. And I got an invite to Aguera's. And that's where I met my wife.
I was there last night. I was at O'Gara's last night.
Nice.
Mark's.
Wow. At O'Gara's. I think my wife and I might have went on like one of our first dates over there at O'Gara's. Oh, yeah. But it was around like St. Patty's Day. You know, O'Gara's for the.
I'm just glad
the
they didn't have Twitter back then, because instead of talking to her, I'd be on my phone the whole time looking at Twitter.
The thing with Vince is Vince was a handful, man. I mean, Vince was a handful. His 2 years, he was good, but he was a handful.
I think that parallel that you make, though, to this season's team is an interesting one, because you do have some senior leadership and some expectations that maybe weren't necessarily met. So the question that I want to pose to you then is, where does Andre Hollins sort of, I mean, he's in my opinion at least the leader, the unquestionable leader of this team, and the one who really has, you know, put the most on the floor the entire season. So where does he fit in? Where does he fall?
He's the best player. He's not necessarily the leader. Yeah. This team doesn't really have a leader, and that's why they're in the situation that they're in. I think that, you know, when you're going into the season with four seniors, you kind of expect them as a group to lead this team. And when that didn't happen, he looked to Andre. Andre had that little funk at the beginning of the Big Ten season that kind of took him out of contention early. He turned it around, but he didn't have any support through that. And now, you know, you look back on his career and you see a guy who's got the stats. I mean, he's going to be, you know, two or three all-time in scoring. I think he tied, or he might have set the record for most 3-point attempts.
Attempts.
But he's close to being the all-time leading 3-point shooter here. He's one of the best free throw shooters. I think he has the percentage of the best free throw percentage all time, for his career. And so he's got the numbers. You know, as far as the wins, I mean, he went to the NCAA tournament, won an NCAA tournament game. I think that's a factor in it. He had a huge couple games in the NCAA tournament, 28 points versus UCLA, 25 versus Florida. So he belongs in the conversation, I think, with all-time greats, but I don't think he's probably in the top 10.
I don't know if he's on top 10. Second 10, we'll go Vo, Trent Tucker, Randy Brewer, Sweet Lou Hudson, Jim Brewer.
My man just comes with like 10 deep. He's got a list 10 deep.
He's Mr. Gopher, though.
You got 15 deep? You got five more?
Give me 30 seconds. But Andre, with the thing back to Andre, Andre is one of the most high-character student-athletes of all time. I mean, if you had, he would definitely be a candidate for one of the best student-athletes, both participation off the floor, what he does off the floor, and the way he plays on the floor. I mean, he would be an all-timer there for sure. So some people say, hey, that warrants consideration as well.
Well, that's one of the things, you know, when we first started doing this show that you said that really stood out to me was people don't understand, like, these dudes get jobs. Like, yep. What they're doing on the floor, how they interact and cooperate with each other, and the education that they get, I mean, that's going to have an impact on our community.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably weighs a little bit more than just what they do on the basketball court. I mean, the show is obviously, it's about basketball, and that's what we like to talk about, but that's a huge factor. It yeah. should be.
People forget his other schools were Stanford and Harvard.
Right. But well, he's already got his degree. He showed it on, they don't have Twitter now because they have the Twitter ban, but on Instagram he showed his degree. Carlson.
Oh, you can still Insta? You can't tweet, but you can Insta.
That's how it is, man. Yeah.
Well, there's obviously some tournament implications, or at least some things that are going to happen over the next couple days, maybe that will have some sort of a sway on how his ultimate rank where it lands. I mean, there's a lot yet to get to. We're going to get to some postseason analysis with the Gophers. We've got NBA highlights. Your boy is killing it. And, of course, it's high school playoff time. So we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We've got high school basketball to talk about. Playoffs have started. Seedings just came out, like 5 minutes ago?
It was quick. It's about a half hour ago now.
So how many games did you go to? This is Ryan James, our high school basketball expert. Tell me, like, where, I mean, 10, 15 games, how many did you catch this week?
Oh, it wasn't as much as I had parent-teacher conferences. I only saw five.
Oh, okay. What did you catch? You see any good ones?
Oh, I saw two really good ones last night. Roosevelt lost at the buzzer to St. Croix Lutheran, and then Minneapolis North lost at the buzzer to Maranatha. Two good small school Metro games. It was the best small school doubleheader in Metro history. It was good.
Was that touted as that? Or is that
I
just
touted
you're touting it as that? Okay, I'm with that. So are there some big games that we should be looking forward to? What are the things that we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, state tournament starts Wednesday. The big school pairings just came out. They look solid. The seedings came exactly how you'd think. Champlain Park has St. Francis in the first round. Roseville Shakopee is going to be the game. Stephon Mitchell's a guy everybody's got to start watching because I think he's going to make a high major push this AAU season. Apple Valley has St. Michael Albertville, who's a good team. And then Hopkins, who lost Amir Coffey, still made it to state once again. They play Lakeville North, who probably John Oxton knocked out Rochester John Marshall with Gopher commit Michael Hurt and his brother Matt Hurt, who's going to be a superstar. They knocked him out last night. Oxton might be the best coach in Minnesota. You can make an argument for that. He is that good at Lakeville North. And you lose J.P. McCura, and you go to the state championship. Then the next year you have J.P. They get back to state again. They win one. I skipped a year in there. And then they're back to state this year with a bunch of guys. I mean, most people don't even know who's on their team. I know a few, but yeah, it's great job, John Oxton.
That's crazy that the Hurt brothers got knocked out.
They did.
I know a lot of Gopher fans are disappointed with that.
They are. A lot of people wanted to see them up there, but hey, man, Lakeville North's a little bit deeper, and they have the experience.
You look at Jarvis Johnson coming back with Dale Saul again. You know, his senior season maybe hasn't been, as exciting as everybody wanted it to be, but he had that injury with his leg, came back from that. They have a talented team. I mean, they're loaded. Skarnium has had a great season. Should people be looking forward to watching Jarvis out there?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Jarvis is fully healthy now. Jarvis has a chance if they win state, which is, come on, it's like a 98% chance they're going to. He will be the first player in the history of Minnesota high school basketball to start on a state championship team for 4 years. People will say, was it Lawrence McKenzie? Lawrence was a sixth man. So
really?
Jarvis would be the first. Lawrence was a sixth man his freshman year. So Jarvis.
What about Reed?
What?
Reed's
freshman year, they didn't make state.
Okay, wow. Yeah. I think if you look at Jarvis's career, freshman year, how many people he started, but how many people really knew much about him? He was probably overlooked quite a bit on that team.
In our basketball community, they knew about him because he played up in a good AAU team and 15U when he was in eighth grade, really. So people knew who he was at that time, and he averaged like 6.5 a game as a freshman, and you know he made an impact right away just because he's got such a different level of athleticism. It's just he's so rare in that way.
And, I mean, you saw him at early age. I mean, is this a guy that he's not very big right now, but you talk about that athleticism. I mean, how big was he as a freshman?
Oh, like strength-wise, or I mean, he was about.
I mean, height was he?
He's probably some height. Shorter, a little bit, not quite as stronger back then.
And you know, I think Reed Travis is a guy. You know, you look at him, what he did last year at the state tournament. Are there any guys that you think might just kind of carry the state tournament on their back?
A little bit? Who's going off?
Who's going on? I say Stephon Mitchell.
Okay.
I mean, that dude from Shakopee, he's so good. He's grown. He's about 6'8". Wisconsin was just
over
to
see
him. Yeah, he's grown. Like, I didn't know he was that big until I watched play Apple Valley. I'm like, wow, he is bigger. And he can handle. He can play every position. Stephon Mitchell's a guy that you really got to watch could blow up. He's the guy I would say. He did it last year as a sophomore. He carried his team. Hopkins had to have, I can't remember if that was the game Amir hit the bomb to send him in overtime. I think it may have.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, I mean, he could have carried his team as a sophomore to the state tournament had Amir not hit that bomb. But De La Salle plays Albany in the first round. Albany's a really fun, exciting team. They have, the names are escaping me, but I know they have a kid named Nick Raker, who's a senior, who's about 5'10", and he's like a baby Jason Williams. Rob's like, well, I'm going to get there.
Hold on.
See this.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
white chocolate?
Yeah, his AAU games were awesome because
the
dude was just like, pop, pop, pop. Then
the kid
shoot 26-footer.
He probably wasn't even born when Jason Williams was playing.
Yeah, he's heard this and he's running to the YouTube right now.
He should, because that's some of the best highlights you're going to see are J-Dub highlights, man.
Yep.
I mean, playoffs, you talk about the Big Ten tournament, the women. I just came back from that today, and you know, the women, they won their first game versus Purdue, and it was really probably closer than a lot of people thought. 14th seed, they had to beat them by 4 points down the stretch, but by double digits. But this is a team, I think, when they're playing well, I mean, they can beat anybody in the Big Ten, some of the top schools. So there's no doubt, with the lack of preparation that some of these teams are going to have in the NCAA tournament, you can't prepare for Amanda Zalley. I mean, she is
obviously
she's a load inside. I mean, I think that Ohio State did a pretty good job on her last night. I mean, this first half,
they couldn't even get like 20.
She had 25. She still had 25, but in the first half, she only had 7. And you know, that's when Ohio State kind of built their lead, and the Gophers couldn't recover from that. She had 25, 11 rebounds, 11 blocks, third career triple double.
I mean, video game numbers.
And she, after the game, she was just, I mean, it was, she might have well scored zero. I mean, she was so frustrated. I mean, she's like, you know, I can't take it anymore. You know, it's not beating these tournaments and not advancing. You know, we got to win a game. And, you know, if they're going to win, they're going to need to play better defense. And I think it's the same thing with the Gopher men this year. If you look at their losses.
Without a doubt.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they were probably some of the worst defensive performances of the year for them. And when they went on a winning streak during the, you know, second half of the Big Ten season, it was all about defense. And, you know, the women capable of playing high-level defense, I'm not sure. But, I mean, when you get 11 blocks from Amanda Zawi, I mean, that's that's taking it to another level defensively.
So where are the women shaking out right now?
They'll probably get a 7th or 8th seed, you know, talking to the bracket expert for ESPN, Charlie Cream. Going into the Big Ten tournament, they're right around the 7th, 8th seed range. But they had a chance to move up, you know, maybe if they would have beaten an Ohio State to about a 6th seed. But really, I mean, you lose to Ohio State's probably a top 6 seed in the NCAA tournament, so that doesn't hurt you at all. And, you know, they got 23 wins. They had 11 wins in the Big Ten. You know, they're sitting pretty good going into the selection show, which is not on Sunday. It's not Selection Sunday for the women. It's Selection Monday.
What's up with that?
They, you know, they don't want to take away any steam from the guys.
Well, they deserve their time. They should have their own show.
They do. I mean, I think in the past they've had it kind of on the same day, and it just, I mean, got lost a little bit. But, you know, the women, you know, for them to have a chance to play in the tournament for the first time since 2009, I think is huge for the program. And, you know, whether they win a game in the NCAA tournament or not, it's gonna do well going down the stretch, in recruiting for some of the state's top best players, because they've got quite a bit of talent on the girls' side in the state of Minnesota.
What are they gonna look like coming in next year, projection-wise? I mean, what are they gonna be? Like, if you look at the Big Ten standings, where are they gonna project with these, you know, with the talent coming back?
Oh, man. I mean, Ohio State had a girl last night, Kelsey Mitchell. She was co-Big Ten Player of the Year with Amanda Zawi, and she's only a freshman. And
that's weak. Zawi should have had it.
Well, she should have, but this, when you watch this girl play, she had 29
like
last night. She had 29 last night, and you know, I mean, she kind of barely broke a sweat. So next year, I mean, Ohio State's going to be tough. Maryland, they won it this year, didn't lose a game. Maryland didn't lose a game this year, and you know, it's only going to get tougher in the Big Ten. You know, Minnesota has the talent now. I mean, Rachel Banham, the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, she's coming back. And so is Zawi. So is Carly Wagner from New Richland. She had a great freshman year. So I think the Gophers are going to be in the top four. But it's going to be tough to win the Big Ten title when you got Maryland on top there.
What is the Maryland's coach's name?
Brenda Freeze.
Traitor.
Yeah.
Right? She's a traitor?
She left after 1 year. She did.
She's a traitor.
But she did win a national championship, Ryan.
Come on. She's a traitor.
I think anytime you're a coach at Minnesota and you've got a bright future, you know, it's tough to stick around when you don't have the resources. And I think that, you know, if you don't have a lot invested in this region, in the state of Minnesota, you know, it's going to be hard to keep really good young coaches. Even Marlene Stallings, it's going to be tough to keep her in the next few years, I think.
What do you mean by that, by the resources, when you don't have the resources? Because typically when I think about folks not staying in Minnesota is because it's cold, is because the winter is like 11 months long.
That might be a part of it.
I mean, those are real things that, especially, I mean, for student athletes or for athletes in general, I mean, if, you know, if you get to choose where you get to work, you know, I mean, it's a little easier to try to take your talents to South Beach. But as far as the resources, I mean, what kind of resources are you talking about that are lacking?
But, you know, it's no surprise at all, no shock that they don't have a practice facility. I mean, Tubby got here, you know, 8 years ago and talked about, you know, that was one of the first things that he wanted, them to build. And, you know, he would say that Joe Maturi, the athletic director, promised that he'd build one. Hasn't happened yet. You know, have they gotten some money recently? Sure. I think $6 million was raised recently for the practice facility, but we're talking about $20 million. You know, and football is number one here. I mean, they have the new stadium. They're going to get their practice facility probably first.
And they should. I was
and
just over
Jerry
there.
Kill, I mean, Jerry Kill he's kind of like a god in this state right now just by going to the Citrus Bowl. So he's going to get what he wants first, and Patino's going to have to win without one.
That, I don't know, what do they call it? Just the Bierman complex for the practice indoors?
Yeah.
They have things like hanging off the ceiling. Like one of them looked like a couch.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
that big hanging off. Like, I looked at Ryan Burns. I was like, dude, that's like a couch hanging over there. If Mortel hits that with the ball.
Oh, it's leaking. It's leaking.
That's a lawsuit.
What?
Yeah, it leaks constantly.
It's awful.
It's the Taj Mahal's.
Oh, it's terrible.
It hasn't been renovated since Lou Holtz was there.
Picture back in the 80s. Picture the worst gym you played in elementary basketball, and like this
with the low ceilings, you can't actually shoot line drives. But
this is the equivalent.
At least they have a facility. You know, the men had a recreational court there in Bierman. You know, where they had to renovate a little bit to make it into their practice court. And, you know, Patino's and Stallings have done what they can with what they have right now. But, you know, when you're trying to recruit some of the best players, they want the best. They want the best facilities and they want the best resources.
You know, on a related question, actually, we just got a word from a listener is interested in knowing if Stephon Mitchell is being looked at by D1 schools.
He has 6 D1 offers. Nothing high major yet. He has 6 D1 offers. I know Wisconsin's Greg Gard just watched him the other day. The Gophers have talked to him as well. He's definitely on their watch list. So, I mean, he's going to be playing with the Minnesota Fury this spring and the summer, and they're going to be traveling nationally, and he's going to get seen. I mean, he's so big and so skilled.
That only ups your value when you get to travel like with a team like the Fury.
Yeah. Stephon is going to be a guy I think is going to blow up. I mean, right now the 6 offers, I know they're like North Dakota State, North Dakota. What else does it say on there? You pulled it up. American, Central Michigan, Furman, Medved.
Tubby's looking at him.
Tubby looks at everybody up here. they need to come back to check out their houses that are still up here because they always are coming up here to see
somebody. Have they gotten anybody? He hasn't gotten anybody.
No, they're not going to.
If you want to get at us, you can hit us up on the ticket line is 651-989-9105. You can also tweet us. It's at oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. We've got more Gophers conversation, and your boy is killing it next in just a couple of minutes. One and done, 105 the ticket.
Back to one and done on Sports Radio 105. The ticket.
All right. Hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. There were some assertive wins from the league's best teams, namely Atlanta over Cleveland 106-97 in the fresh old school Hawks jerseys. Atlanta put a stamp on the end of Neek Week with their 6th straight win and 6 guys in double figures led by Al Horford with 19-9-6. Kyrie Irving scored 20 to lead Cleveland. LeBron James had 18-8-8 with 9 turnovers. Kevin Love tallied 14-8 for Cleveland. Golden State topped Dallas 104-89. Steph Curry was 5-for-8 from 3 with 22 points on the night and a YouTube assist. Look it up. That's my MVP right there for sure. Harden's close, but the Warriors are dominating. They play the Clippers tomorrow on ABC. That's must-watch basketball right there. The Wolves haven't played since their loss against Denver on Wednesday. They're at home for Portland tonight in L.A. for the Clippers on Monday, at Phoenix on Wednesday, then travel to Oklahoma City for the Thunder on Friday, which brings me to that part of the show. You know what it is. It's your boy is killing it. We feature our Hoopers of the Week, and nice. My boy, future Laker Russell Westbrook, 4 straight triple-doubles. He couldn't make it 5. They lost to Chicago on Thursday, but he still had 43 points, his 3rd straight 40-point game. And that dunk that he threw down a couple of days ago, he took it the length of the floor by everybody, through everybody, and that tomahawk over there. Did you guys see that?
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, that was the most thunderous dunk that I've seen. I don't know.
I feel like he does that on a weekly basis, though. He's a game basis.
He's a freak. He's a freak of nature.
Like, just don't give him a high five.
You know, he's playing like Derrick Rose used to. I mean, a little higher level with the scoring, but you wonder if his body can keep up with that because I feel like, you know, at this rate, and Derrick Rose, the injuries, it's just been freakish.
That's true.
As explosive as Westbrook plays, and he's not, I mean, he is prone to injuries. He's injured himself in the past. So I think, you know, he needs to lighten the load a little bit. I mean, this is a guy that wants to be doing this stuff in the playoffs. You know, when Kobe Bryant and Shaq and some of these guys, that's when they had their biggest games was the playoffs.
Absolutely.
You
know? No doubt.
He needs to save a little bit.
I love Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's so fun to watch. In the playoffs, I mean, I watch most of my NBA in the playoffs. The shot selection, oh my gosh. I go out and pull my beard hairs out sometimes with some of those crazy shots he takes during the games. But, yeah, I love Russell Westbrook.
Did you see that? I can't remember what game it was. A couple days ago, though, he had a chance to win the game, missed the last second shot.
Yeah.
Ibaka was wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, he was wide open.
Dude doesn't like to.
He was jumping up and down, waving his hand.
He's never, in my opinion, been a point
guard. Pulling his hair out if he had any hair.
He's like dual surviving. You've seen that show? The dudes are like, hey, come get me. That was Serge. Russell's like, no, my boat is going right by your island.
It was like 5-on-1.
That's how my guy plays, all right? Like, look, Russell Westbrook is not afraid of the moment and of taking the game over. Sure. So when he goes at it, when he goes hard, he goes hard.
And, you have to give him credit. He did have, I think he had probably had 10 assists in the game.
He had a beastly week. I mean, just a beastly week. Who you guys got for killing it? Who's your boys?
Oh, the high school kids. Gotta go high school. The kid I need to talk about is this kid from Mankato East, Gorg Alhag. And I don't know if I said that name right. This is a guy who's getting D2 looks, and he just brought his team to state, and nobody expected them to get there. They beat Marshall, who only lost like two games all year.
I need spelling there.
It's G-O-R-G, last name A-L-H-A-G. I'm not exactly sure how to say it, but the kid at Mankato East has been fantastic. I know the Mankato State Mavericks want him in town. I just did a best available in the state and forgot him, so I am feeling guilty. I need to get his name out there. Mankato East, he's going to be up here at state tournament next week. Go see him play against New Prague in Williams Arena on Wednesday. Chase Knickerbocker, Annandale. This kid is 6'7", going to Minnesota Crookston, and I'm telling you, he can score in every single way. He carried his team on his back, Annandale. They're back at state again. Nobody expected him to do it. Quickly, I'll go through this. Jeremiah Hansen, Maranatha Christian, 33 points last night. Another Hansen brother, which I think is about the ninth Hansen brother to play in the state tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. His brothers are
TV show, Just the Ten of Us.
They got a music group, too?
They might make some songs. And JT Gibson, he's a monster. Champa Park is still undefeated. And Gary Trent Jr., Apple Valley wiped out Crete Durham Hall. Wiped them out 74-50. Gary had 29, stepped up in a big way. He's looking like the big-time player that everyone has talked about him being. And the defense of Apple Valley held the Crete and Durham Hall trio. All of them had great careers, Rosga Newman and Donnell Gresham, but they shot 10 of 39 from the field, only scored 50 points as a team, and that's why they're not going to state. Apple Valley is. Go watch Gary Trent.
I talked about it a little bit already.
Every week it's my girl's killing it.
Hey,
She was shut down in the first half there versus Ohio State. I mean, 7 points in the first half, I thought she was going to have about probably 20. Going into that game, the big hype was that, she had a chance to prove that she was the Big Ten player of the year. Ryan says it. I agreed with it. Kelsey Mitchell for Ohio State was amazing this year. She led the Big Ten in scoring, second in the nation in scoring. But she's one dimensional. I mean, Zali does it from, rebounding. She does it with her defense. And in fact, to start off the game, she stepped out, shot a 3-point shot. She has range like that too. If she's going to become a WNBA player, she's going to take her game to next level. She's going to have to extend her range. Mm. And that's what she's done this year. She actually took a girl off the dribble, at 6'5". And, this is a girl, this is a team that relies so much on her to do so many things. And I think that's why it gets in trouble at times. But again, Zali is my girl, is killing it. And I do have to give a shout out to Shea Kelly as well. In the last three games, she's averaging 26 points and 11 rebounds. She had 23 and 13 last night in the loss to Ohio State. It's her senior year, and she's playing like, this is it for her. And there's no way that this team would be where it is right now without Shea Kelly. She's a first-team All-Big Ten forward. She's the first senior for the Gophers to get first-team All-Big Ten since Janelle McCarville in 2005.
Wow.
It's just amazing. I mean that's... they've had some pretty good players over the years that have played for four years and played well. Emily Fox,
But what Shea's doing is...
But senior year, a lot of these girls, they played well sophomore, junior year, but that senior year, it was just kind of a step down.
Yeah, it's tough.
But Shea, she's just transferred. This is her first year here out of Old Dominion. And, right away, she averaged 17 and 9 1 year. I mean, can you imagine Patino got a transfer for 1 year that averaged 17 and 9 and it was first team all Big Ten?
It would be a big impact.
A big impact.
Our poll
you
question,
might have to go on our all-time Gopher list.
Well, our poll question today is, who are your starting five all-time Gophers? We've got a caller on the line. Jeff, you want to respond to the poll question?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks. Excellent show. Really like it. All your topics, I think, were interesting. For me, my top five, and I go back to, I was there when the Ohio State Gopher fight happened. I was a kid, but I remember it well. But I would go with Behagen, Burton, Leonard, Thompson, and McHale as my top five. And, I mean, there's so many other guys who could be there too, right? The other thing I just want to say is I really like, it's interesting about the women's basketball, how it's a lot of improvement. I think Coach of the Year really is Stalin. I mean, you know, really, to me, a big part of coaching, and this is why I love Kill and my Gopher football, is he takes talent and really coaches it up. And I'm watching this happen with the women's basketball team. It's exciting to see. There's no blaming. You know, she's really got them motivated. And it's fun to see. And the other note, too, is appreciate that shout-out about Marietta to my church, man. It's impressive to see how incredible they've done with the basketball program there. They just keep it going on. So, but I'll get off the phone and just listen to you guys. I really appreciate your talk. And it's really awesome to have this kind of basketball talk in Minnesota. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Well, we love doing it. Appreciate you calling. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks a lot.
What do you guys think about that five?
What was the first name he said?
You know, I think he pretty much had the same list that we had.
Okay. He was going deep.
You know, I think that the point that he made about Stallings, I really loved the fact that he recognizes, that she probably should have won Coach of the Year. You know, Freeze, first year in the Big Ten, she wins the Big Ten undefeated. It's kind of hard not to give it to Freeze. But, if there was any year that, any other year where a team did not go undefeated, this would have been that year to give her Cole, Big Ten Coach of the Year.
She likes Shaq when Steve Nash won the MVP.
Okay, who won Coach of the Year?
Freeze from Maryland.
Traitor.
Yeah.
Traitor.
Yeah. Here he goes again.
But, Stallings, I think, is, she's the type of coach who, when you watch her in practice, which we got to do just before the Big Ten tournament, she had an open practice. She's really engaging. She's tough on the players, but she's encouraging at the same time. And, she lets them coach a little bit. Lets her point guard Shane Mullaney, Rachel Banham, the star player that got injured. She's involved. She uses a lot of input from the players. And I think that's huge. I mean, she's not necessarily, just a player's coach. She's a disciplinarian too. But at the same time, I mean, just to get your player's feedback, it goes a long way. And I think that shows respect. For your talent. And, Amanda Zolli, would she have the season that she's having now if she wasn't coached by Stallings? Who knows? But I do know that there was a point in the season when Zolli was getting overly frustrated with how she was playing. And, and then she had a talk with her after a couple losses. And, that motivated her to play, to play the way she is right now. And, for this team to do what they've done without Banham, and make the NCAA tournament and possibly be one of the surprise teams of the Big Ten this year, she does deserve Big Ten Coach of the Year talk.
Since we're all of a girls basketball right now, who's the greatest women's basketball player of all time in Minnesota history?
Minnesota history, Lindsey Whalen. It has to be.
But
is
she better than Carol Ann Shedlick?
Well, if you just look at the stats, I mean, first of all, Lindsey Whalen has a career scoring record. And you have to look at past the Gophers. You look at the impact that she's had on women's basketball in general.
I'm just curious.
I mean, and coming from Minnesota, from a small town, and doing what she did with the Lynx, winning championships. I mean, really, a lot of people, when Pam Borton got fired, they wanted Lindsey Whalen as the next head coach.
Mm.
But she had no coaching experience.
Yeah.
She's still playing professionally, and she's making good money overseas as well. I mean, she's still got a lot in her playing wise, but when she's done, I mean, granted, Stallings could be here as long as she wants to be if she continues to have success like this. But I mean, Whalen's going to come back and do a lot of big things for Minnesota when her basketball career is done.
I just wanted to throw that out there. I think Lindsey's probably best all the time too. Well, I think Lindsey's the best. She used to cross over so many dudes at the rec center.
Nice.
She said, "Oh man, all these dudes are playing." She's like one of the few, like, all these girls come up to play. Lindsey could ball with all the guys. She'd make them look silly.
Yeah. That being said, though, Zolli's going to go down as breaking all the records for the Gophers.
You believe that she's going to go as maybe the greatest Gopher female basketball player of all time?
She might be the best Gopher basketball player, period. If she continues at this rate, she'll have the rebounding record, the points record. She'll have, blocks record. Well, she already has the blocks record.
Wow.
All right.
That's to put her in that conversation. I mean, we've been, like,
you have to win.
Three straight weeks of killing it, but.
Right. You have to win at a high level in order to get there. And, you know, if she has all these records that I talked about and she doesn't go to a Final Four, you know, Lindsay will still have that over her if Zali doesn't go on. And I'm just talking about sophomore here, so I'm going way ahead of myself.
That's
but
the crazy thing.
If Zali doesn't go on to have a great career in the WNBA, which I think she will, you know, that will kind of, you know, it'll keep Lindsay at the top for
nice
sure.
Nice to see her in a Lynx jersey. That'd be cool, man. I mean, that's
our championship team. They need to make that happen because they didn't with Lindsay.
Yeah.
And it probably cost them the Lynx a lot of money, a lot of fans, you know, earlier on. When they first started off. And they brought her back. They brought McCarville back, you know, the team together. We want to see Rachel Banham and Zowie in Lynx jerseys.
Hell yeah.
Who knows?
Hell yeah. You can get us with your response to the poll question. Who's your starting five all-time Gophers? You could tweet us. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done or hit us up on the ticket line 651-989-9105. We've got more Gophers to talk in just a couple of minutes. There's some postseason conversation that we're going to get into next. Stick around.
One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, some games to get into this week. There's high school basketball on The Ticket with Class 4A semifinals Thursday at 6 p.m. For in-depth coverage, make sure you listen to Wally Langfellow and Larry McKenzie Monday at 7 with the high school basketball breakdown on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. We'll also have the Big Ten tournament Thursday at 10:45 and 1:30 and all day Friday with games at 10:45, 1:30, 5:15, and 8 p.m. Today, Kentucky looks to remain unbeaten against Florida on ESPN at 1. Virginia's at Louisville at 5:30, and Duke's at North Carolina immediately after that. Tomorrow, Wisconsin's at Ohio State on CBS. Maryland's at Nebraska, and Minnesota hosts Penn State at noon on the Big Ten Network. It's Senior Day, the final home game. It's got Big Ten tournament implications. This is an important game.
Oh, it's a huge game. For seeding, definitely.
For seedings, I mean, because they're either going to have a bye or not based on this game, correct? Well, this game and then maybe another game having an impact on it.
Well, there's a really good website out there. It's called bball.notnothing.net, and it has weird name, right? I'm like, what?
We may have to slow that up.
What? But it's actually got a predictor that you stick in different games, winners of different games, losers of different games, and you submit it, and it actually figures out what the entire Big Ten tournament schedule would be.
Does the math.
It
gives you the hypotenuse and all that.
It gives you the bracket and everything. And right now, I'm clicking on here. So if Northwestern wins, if they beat Iowa and Minnesota beats Penn State, let's submit that. Then that means that Northwestern will get the 10th seed and Minnesota will get the 11th seed, which means Minnesota will play on the first day on Wednesday. And if they both lose, Northwestern still would get the 10th seed.
This is a must win.
And Nebraska's factored in there a little bit too. I think if Nebraska wins and Northwestern and Minnesota both lose, they could end up getting the 10th seed. So
Nebraska's got a tough one. I mean, they're at home, but they've got Maryland at home. I mean, Maryland's a top 25 team.
Yeah,
still.
I mean, you know, at the beginning of the year, did I think Nebraska could beat Maryland at home? For sure. I mean, I thought Nebraska was probably a top three team in the Big Ten. But, you know, this year, I mean, they won't make the NIT. And they've had a disappointing year. Tim Miles has got a lot of talent and, you know, just couldn't figure it out this year. It's kind of like the Gophers. In fact, you know, there's one, I don't remember the game. I think they lost to Iowa, I believe, by 20 points. And he ended up banning them from their locker room. And, you know, Pitino actually said on the radio a little after that he did the same thing to the Gophers earlier in the year, but he didn't tell anybody about it. And I'm thinking, well, you ban Nebraska from the locker room. Have you seen Nebraska's facilities? They're just unbelievable.
I've seen their football facilities. And it's anything
basketball,
like football.
Brand new. They got brand new basketball.
Oh, it's immaculate.
Yeah. I mean, those guys probably live in there.
And
I'm thinking, if you ban the Gophers from their locker room,
they're like reflecting pools and stuff.
The Gophers, when I was a manager, I lived in a locker room here. I mean, sure.
Well, I don't know. I think the Gophers probably be like, thanks, coach. But, you know, if you look at the Big Ten tournament, this is a similar situation to back in 2010, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. When they made it all the way to the Big Ten championship game and made the tournament. I think that if they make a similar run this year, obviously beat Penn State, There's a possibility that they could get in. Now, I think at that point, you know, that's the last conference tournament in the country. And at that point, a lot of the selection committee has have their minds made up a little bit. And, you know, I think that they, you know, they go on a run to the championship game. It still might not get them in. But man, would it be a hell of a run for this team?
I mean, it'd have to be a hell of a run. Cause when you say that, dudes in this room have furrowed brows. We're like, what? I'm just trying to wrap my head around the idea of them actually getting to the Big Ten championship even. Like, that's going to be a rough road.
My brow is furrowed because after watching some of the efforts on Thursday, and I'm telling you, Andre Hollins never wants to see Josh Gosser again. Ever. Don't ever come near me. You put me out for
a lot of guards in the Big Ten. You don't let me touch the ball.
Yeah.
A lot of guards in the Big Ten could say that.
But I mean, the effort from the other day, I can't see. I can see them getting a win, but I can't see a big win.
Well, I mean, you talk about the scenario. Let's say that the most typical or probably the most likely scenario for the Gophers is they do get the 10th seed. Again, I'm going to this website. They'll probably play.
The name of this website.
I mean, will they even? Because the last time they played, Penn State picked up that win in January, right? I mean.
Well, you know, I think that was a different team then. I think that Andre was not playing as well at that point. And,
still kind of fresh off that ankle.
He hasn't really played well, as of late. Not the way that he was during that middle stretch of the Big Ten.
38 points to pass Randy Brewer. That might be some motivation.
This is senior day. I mean, you look at Austin Hollins last year. I mean, Austin Hollins kind of just took his game to another level, toward the end of the season and those last few games. And he was NIT MVP. Will Andre Hollins be an NIT MVP? We'll see.
Matthews had 26 assists and only 4 turnovers over the last 10 games. Well, we should be able to see him step up.
Matthews' role is different now. I mean, he's coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. This is Nate Mason's team, you know, as far as the floor leadership. Mm-hmm. And, Matthews' understanding that he's kind of, you know, giving the reins over to Mason.
It's going to be KD's, the new KD's team.
We'll see. I think Kevin Dorsey, the recruit that Brian's talking about, is an amazing defender. I think he can be a leader, but you know, when you come in as a true freshman, I mean, there haven't been too many true freshmen that have come into the Minnesota's program. I mean, you talk about the Big Ten. I mean, this year was the year of the freshman point guard.
Yeah.
And Melo Trimble for Maryland.
There you go.
I mean, he would have been one of the best, if not the Big Ten freshman of the year, if it wasn't for Russell.
Let's get people excited. Dorsey and Mason together.
Ooh. Can we call him K-Do instead of like KD, since there's already a KD?
Kev D.
I like that. But I mean, okay. So realistically, Penn State. I mean, realistically, Penn State tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean,
they'll be Penn State, in my opinion. And so you move on from Penn State. They'll probably play maybe Indiana. In that first round, and that's a tough game.
Indiana,
Indiana team that hit 18 3-pointers on them in Bloomington.
But. Well, it surprises me that Indiana is actually considered a bubble team by most.
They are. I mean, that's like more than half the Big Ten are bubble teams right now. Michigan State, Indiana, right. Illinois, and this is a year that the Big Ten just didn't do anything. They didn't do themselves any favors in non-conference. So many bad losses. I mean, even Michigan State. Nebraska, Michigan. This is a Michigan team that they return a couple players that were supposed to be potential lottery picks. I know that, Caris LeVert got injured, and this has been a disappointing year for them. But this is a team that, if the Gophers are running to them in the Big Ten tournament, it'll be tough. And I think, there's a lot of teams in this Big Ten tournament coming up that could make a run. You know, I'm kind of liking Purdue a little bit just because of the toughness that they have.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Hammonds, he's playing at a first round NBA, type of level. And that's kind of what the Gophers need. They need some sort of identity. You know, the year that they made a run to the Big Ten Tournament Championship, they kind of built an identity around the fact that they were upset that Damian Johnson didn't get, a guest that we had on the show, he didn't get defensive, all defensive team.
Which he should have. That was the travesty. And that's why they show, what was it, the respect they put on their shirts?
Yeah, they had respect t-shirts that they had going into the tournament. Lawrence Westbrook. Tubby kind of went to him and said, hey, you need to step it up on defense, and ended up, he had a great tournament. DeVoe Joseph, obviously, Colton Iverson were both all tournament team. So, I mean, they need two players, in my opinion, to take their game to another level and be some of the best players in the tournament coming up next week. You know, obviously the two that most likely, Andre Hollins and Mo Walker. And after that, you know, I think they need a lot of support, you know, from the guys like Carlos Morris, from Nate Mason, and some of these other guys that can help Andre and Mo.
Yeah, they need that. But, I mean, if you're playing Indiana, somebody find Troy Williams this time so we don't have another.
How about stop playing zone?
Yeah, so he doesn't put together another future resume. Speaking of Indiana, Thon Maker. You guys heard of Thon Maker?
Yeah.
Okay, Thon Maker is visiting Indiana very soon. So, man, what if Crean gets Thon Maker, that's crazy. I saw Thon Maker when he was in seventh grade playing for Team Australia in Vegas, believe it or not.
Was he like 6'9 back then?
He was even bigger than that. I saw him on the other side of the court. I can seriously say I was the first dude on Rivals.com to write about Thon Maker on accident because he was on the other side of the gym and he was huge, so I just wrote it.
But that's another guy. Thon's another guy like Andrew Wiggins. That reclassified. I mean, yeah. You know, he could have been, you know, Andrew could have been a junior in the same class with, you know, Jahlil Okafor and Tyus Jones. I remember actually the day that he reclassified, because when he reclassified, he was the number one player in Tyus Jones's class. And at the time, Tyus was number two. So Tyus ended up becoming the number one player in the nation. For what, Ryan?
Like, not for very long.
Like a month?
Yeah, for chicken.
I remember talking to Tyus about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, this is a battle for that number one spot, you know. But, you know, Jahlil was obviously the best player in that class, and he's proven that. But you know what? There's a player in your discussion right now. You know, Frank Kaminsky just, you know, obviously showed why he's Big Ten player of the year, hands down, versus the Gophers. But is he the National Player of the Year? You know, Okafor.
I don't understand how Kaminsky, you can be that guy, and you're still projected as, like, a late first-round pick. Like,
that's the one. It's the one-and-done age, though. Yeah, it's the one-and-done age. I mean,
he's almost overexposed. They see him so much. But he's going to be a good pro. I'm going to tell you, though, like, you look at the top teams, you can't pick anybody from Kentucky. I mean, they're doing 10 dudes, so who are you going to pick off of that? I mean, Okafor? Yeah, but Tyus
played huge in I think all the big games this year. When they beat Wisconsin, when they beat Virginia. No, I'm not saying Tyus Jones should be player of the year, but I'm saying that what Tyus did in those big games is taken away from, you know, Okafor winning the player of the year in that conversation, because in every game that Wisconsin, big game that Wisconsin's had, you know, it's been Frank Kaminsky.
Could you say Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe?
No.
Okay. No way.
Get out of here with that.
I'm just throwing names out. Come on now.
Get out of here, man. Back to Kaminsky, the only game that he did not play.
I may have mixed up somebody
else.
The
only game he did not play, they lost to Rutgers.
Right. Right.
Rutgers is the worst team in the Big Ten. So that should solidify his case right there.
I like Kaminsky's game. I think he's probably the most evolved and polished player. I mean, there's some favoring. I think that there's probably some sway going in his favor because he is a senior and because he's stuck around and stuck it out. But I don't know, man. Like, just some of these dudes that are, I mean, Arizona's got guys. Virginia's got guys.
Stanley Johnson.
I mean, Stanley Johnson's a beast. There's just so many dudes. I wouldn't necessarily say Willie Cauley-Stein from Kentucky, but, I mean, pick any other of their dudes.
I think it's the wrong name.
Who's the guy?
We make mistakes.
We had the tweet. The caller had a... What was his the first that he named
Ron
in Behagen. His poll question?
Yeah, this Ron Behagen. That's a name that we don't talk about much. He's from New York City. Got drafted 7th overall 1973 by what was then the Kansas City Omaha Kings and now the Sacramento Kings. Dude had a 9-year NBA career. Definitely worth a mention. Averaged 10 points in the NBA. He was a Gopher. I mean, he came from a JUCO now that I think about it.
You know, Jim Brewer has his jersey retired and he won a Big Ten championship. I think that's another Gopher. You know, if you want to be on the second list.
I said him on the second list.
Okay.
Big ups to the listeners for helping us out with that. We're going to be back next week at our normal time, 10 a.m. For Ryan James, for Marcus Fuller, I'm Hardwood Rob. Thanks for listening to One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
This is the all-new Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. WGBX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, and serving the world at 105theticket.com. A Cumulus station.